used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
You know, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to Animal Voices, Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, March 1st, 2019. I'm your host, Elise Jacobson, and I'm joined here in the studio today by my co-host and control room operator, Allison Cole.
Hello there. Good afternoon.
Our feature interview today is with a traveling activist, the man in the van, the vigorous vegan vagabond, Mr. Frank Metivier. He spoke with our co-host Jen last week on his travels around the world in his, quote, vigorous vegan van, spreading the message of compassion for all beings. And that's coming up in about 20 minutes, so stay tuned. But first, Allison, you had an experience you wanted to share with us recently.
Yeah, I sure did. Last weekend, I was excited to visit the annual CHFA West Trade Show, which is a trade show by the Canadian Health Foods Association that is put on every year. In Canada, it's put on twice a year, once on the East Coast and once on the West Coast. And once again, I was lucky to get a media pass so I could peruse the over 900 vendors, I should say, in this huge room in the Vancouver Convention Center, and to see what new vegan products are coming out. This is a really good chance to see what we haven't yet seen in stores in Vancouver, and there's all these vendors and distributors there who are hoping to catch the eyes of the retailers who also attend, and they get matched up, and that's when you start seeing all these vegan treats and foods at the grocery store, and just like it, even at mainstream grocery store, not just Vegan Supply.
Wow,
so yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so I wanted to say that like the theme of my finds for last week at CHFA West, to me, I feel my finds were themed around the theme of vegan cheeses. Because did you know there's so many, maybe when you walked around Vegan Supply, they have a really good stock of different high-end, I would call them vegan cheeses. I've never really tried any of them because I try not to spend that kind of money on cheese.
Yeah.
I buy my vegan cheese on sale. But I want to say that I had counted 8 different brands of vegan cheeses there, and I just wanted to do a shout out for some of them. And you can actually see photos of all of these, plus my other vegan finds at CHFA West at the Animal Voices Vancouver Facebook page. If you want to log in there, I reposted it this morning, so you can take a look to see what's coming up in Vancouver. So the first one I wanted to mention was Fromagerie, which is based in Ontario. And if our listeners will remember about me reporting on last week's show that our local small vegan plant-based cheesemaker, Blue Heron, run by Karen McCarthy, who is a friend of the show, she was told last year that she can't, last week, that she can no longer call her cheeses cheese in mm-hmm. any kind of advertising or that. Well, I spoke to the owner of Fromagerie, and she said, oh yeah, I was interviewed for that Globe and Mail article, which we posted on our Facebook last week, and I studied it last week for this segment that I had presented on. And she said, yeah, they did that to us in 2005, and now they say that we can call our cheese cheese.
Wow.
Interesting, huh? How
yeah.
they're picking on some individuals, but not others.
That's the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, right? That is making those rules?
Yeah, CHFA. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So I should mention, too, that the other vegan cheese sellers that I spoke to, some of them like brand new to getting onto the West Coast, you know, and they're also facing some of these challenges as well, or they're afraid that they're going to. So everyone's sort of in the same boat. I met the people from Basic Roots, which is a Canadian cultured vegan cashewed based cheeses. They have a good variety. I met the Ontario based Nuts for Cheese, which is a delicious type of cheese. I was going to bring some today for you, Elise. I forgot. Oh. It's in my fridge. It is. I've seen it in Vegan Supply, our vegan go-to shop here for everything that the people who run the store, they usually import stuff that otherwise isn't easily allowed into Canada. And so their cheeses were delicious. I met the owners of Pulse Kitchen, who are ethical vegans who are from Penticton. And when they started on this journey, they really had the ethics of veganism in mind. And I really love that about them. And their cheeses were really delicious, too. I've had them before.
Cool.
Yeah, one cheese company that I was really surprised and happy to see there was Miyoko's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite all-time cheeses. You like her cheeses, too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
they're so good.
What's your favorite? Can you recall quickly?
Yeah, I love the one that is wrapped in the fig leaf. I think the fresh Loravelle or something.
Yes.
Yeah, so good.
I've had that one, yeah. My longtime favorite has been the black ash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the smoked truffle. I think there's a smoked truffle.
Right.
That's the one that melted in my mouth and that, like, it's a hard cheese, but and it's a good size piece of cheese, and I ate that all at once when I bought
cool.
it once. It was so good. They also have these amazing vegan butters, which they were demoing there too. And so, of course, I took my opportunity because I haven't tasted her butter for about a year now because
right.
they're just not really available in Vancouver. But they will be soon. This is all coming. So
wow.
I'm excited to see that. And I love Miyoko's tagline. She calls her products phenomenally vegan.
Wow.
So there's the hard cheeses, the butter, and the cream cheeses that they have, which are also delicious. You can get those from Vegan Supply already as well.
Cool.
And yeah, I wanted to make a mention of Daya Foods because we've known them for a long time, right? They first mm-hmm. started out with their cheese shreds, and vegans everywhere are using those to make grilled cheese sandwiches or to put on your nachos or whatnot. It melts pretty well. But they were debuting a lot of their new products at this show, and they actually are selling a cheese sauce now that you can just like straight put onto your nacho cheeses. I'm
wow.
surprised they didn't think of that before, because companies have been doing that in the last several years, just marketing cheese sauce. They also have two new mac and cheeses. They're both made of brown rice pasta and tapioca as the cheese source, so there's no allergens in their products that are commonly known. And their two cheese mac and cheese new flavors are bacon and cheddar style.
Wow.
And four cheese style with herbs.
Wow.
So, yeah, I look forward to seeing those and trying them out. And they have new burritos as well. I saw them in the
nice.
Store at Whole Foods. I got to try one out. They have these new Duets yogurts, they're called, which are actually like their usual Greek yogurts, but they come with some extra crunchies, like some little chocolate chips and seeds
yeah,
in that.
I saw those
yeah.
at the store a little
you
while
did.
Ago. I was curious. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're a good price. I'll buy them for sure. I always buy those on sale. And I was lucky enough to take one home, and I had it the other day at work, and it was so good. But I guess the real highlight of Daya this week was that they have ice cream dessert bars now.
Ooh.
And they have a lovely variety. And I know they're already for sale in Vancouver because a friend of mine found some at Donald's Market. But you can start looking out for these. They're like circular shaped, a little bit different, and with a stick in them. They have other flavors are chocolate fudge crunch, classic vanilla bean, salted caramel swirl, and espresso coffee. So with the few seconds that I have left here, I wanted to mention a couple of other favorite finds. I met the people from Nobo Chocolate, which is a UK-based vegan chocolate, and man, those are delicious. They they create these package-sized discs of chocolate that tastes just like milk chocolate, because what their secret ingredient is they're using cashew butter.
Oh.
Right? Instead of a milk, a cashew butter, because cashews can do it too. So remember those orange flavored mandarin or chocolate balls that you probably used to like them as kids when we were growing up
in Vancouver? Oh, like a chocolate orange?
Yeah, chocolate orange. I know, like, on the Vancouver's Vegan group every year, people are asking, can you get those?
Yeah.
Well, Novo Chocolate actually serves, it's not a ball, but I hope they'll do that, because I was telling her that's what vegans want.
Yeah.
And it's a disc still, and it's orange flavored, and it's so delicious. They're just so creamy. Nice. Also, I quickly want to mention that Zazu Bean Chocolate is going all vegan, which is amazing. Yeah, so I took a picture of that.
Amazing.
And there's the new Nabati Foods dairy-free cheesecakes that are rivaling the Daya cheesecakes, which come in tiramisu, blueberry chocolate, and peanut butter. And a few other highlights, I would say, but we're going to move on and get on with the show here.
Awesome. Thank you, Allison. Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
And now for the news. We just wanted to start out with a quick announcement that our beloved local vegan shoe store, Nice Shoes, was recently broken into. All the glass on their door was shattered, and it was a huge mess. And they're going to have a fair amount of expense, I think, trying to repair that and get back on their feet. Joanne Chang, one of the co-owners, along with her husband, Glenn, used to be a host on Animal Voices many years ago, and we've had her as a guest on the show as well. If you search our website, animalvoices.org, for Joanne Chang, you can see an interview that I just did with her recently. Nice Shoes is a wonderful business. They're a pillar of the vegan community in Vancouver, and you can support them during this time, getting back on their feet with this break-in, by making a purchase from them online on their website, niceshoes.ca, or in the store. They have lots of amazing shoes and bags and wallets and belts, all your needs in that way.
And the store is located at Fraser and 20th, right?
That's right. Yeah, right there on Fraser Street next to Fairy Cakes. Yeah, go get yourself
you can get a cupcake too.
That's right.
Or cookies. They make good cookies.
Cheesecake. Speaking of all this food that we're talking about.
Yeah. You know, I think Nice Shoes is now the only vegan shoe store in Canada.
Right.
If you want products that are brought to us by ethical vegan Canadians, Nice Shoes is the place to go. Please patronize them.
And they will ship, if you're outside of Vancouver, they'll ship to you as well. So moving on with some news, the federal government is taking extra steps to find out if Canadians are still okay with killing wildlife in what one scientist calls one of the worst ways to die on Earth. The Pest Management Review Agency has extended public consultations into whether it should consider cruelty before licensing poisons used to control large predators such as wolves. The most common of the three toxins under consideration is strychnine. One of Canada's largest users is the government of Alberta, which has used strychnine to poison hundreds of wolves to help caribou herds survive in ranges heavily disrupted by industrial development. I know there's been news on that recently as well. Experts dispute whether killing wolves actually helps caribou herds. The evidence for that is very shaky.
We've done some interviews on that too. Check them out. Check out the last wolf interview I did, which I think was maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, around now.
Absolutely.
This is when they're doing the wolf call at this time.
The agency's website says that the use of pesticides to control large predators and the unintended effects on non-target animals is a growing concern among Canadians. Within 20 minutes of being dosed by strychnine, muscles start to convulse. The convulsions increase in intensity and frequency until the backbone arches and the animal asphyxiates or dies of exhaustion. So obviously it's very cruel. It's an awful way to die. Ryan Brook, a professor at the University of Saskatchewan's Agriculture Department, said that strychnine is one of the worst ways to die on Earth in terms of pain and in terms of being conscious and aware. He said, we have to do better. If you tried, I don't think you could find a worse way to do it. So
that's awful. This issue keeps coming up every year. It keeps not being solved. And I keep wanting to educate people about it because I really believe that education is where it all starts, because we can ask our government to stop this.
Exactly.
And there is a petition on now, and I posted it on our Facebook page this week at Animal Voices Vancouver.
Great. Yeah, so that's an effective way to do it. Sign petitions, write to your members of parliament, tell them what you think about this. And quickly, the Dairy Farmers of Canada have pulled a misleading ad over complaints about how misleading it was to the public. An advocacy group for dairy farmers decided to pull one of its new ads after a number of people complained that it misled the public, according to letters sent to complainants from the advertising standards body. The print ad in question is part of the Dairy Farmers of Canada's, quote, Honest Canadian Dairy campaign, which was developed by DDB Canada and launched at the end of January with a plan run until March, according to DDB's website. The ad pictures a man standing in front of a pasture with the words, there are zero growth hormones in milk produced in Canada, like none, quote, end of quote.
And that shocked me when I saw that. I'm like, what are you talking about? There are so many pregnancy growth hormones
of course
in a cow.
Yeah. So Toronto activist Jenny McQueen was instrumental in kind of getting this ad removed, because she stepped up and submitted complaints along with other animal rights groups to the Ad Standards Board to point out that milk contains a natural growth hormone, even if none are added. So obviously that statement was misleading. And the ad has been pulled. So that's good.
Yay! But heard last night it's still on TV. So our co-host Carol is actually going to work on trying to get it banned from TV now.
Okay.
And Carol, if you're listening, I hope you do that task for this week, because the animals need you to do that.
Absolutely.
And we need you to do that as, like, vegans who really just disgustingly cringe every time we see those ads. And I'm so glad someone did something about it. Someone has to be active about it.
For sure.
So thanks for the news.
So in honor of our Living Lightly on the Earth series, we're speaking with Frank Métivier today. Welcome, Frank.
Yes, thank you. So, hi, everybody.
Tell us a little about yourself.
For sure. My name is Francis, actually. I'm 48 years old, and I am originally from Quebec.
Do you prefer to be called Francis?
Sorry?
Do you prefer to be called Francis?
Oh, that's my name. Frank is more like a nickname kind of
thing. Okay. I always call you Frank because we're friends on Facebook and that's what it says. I just want to be sure I'm calling you what you want to be called.
Oh, Frank is good. Francis is good also.
Okay.
Either way.
So tell us, how long have you been vegan?
I've been vegan actually not even a year now, maybe 10 months. I made the switch, about 10 months ago when I was traveling in Indonesia.
And so tell us about that story. Everyone's got an interesting going vegan story.
Yeah, true. Well, mine, it was kind of a pretty long process. I stopped eating meat about 5 years ago because I was saying to myself I couldn't kill an animal, so why should I pay somebody to do it for me?
Right.
So that was the first step towards, kind of a vegan lifestyle. And then I was telling all those excuses that, if I would stuck on a desert island, probably I could still eat fish and eggs, and their product was not a big issue because I didn't know everything that was going on in those industries. So I kept eating those kind of products. And a funny story about fish is I was in India a couple of years ago, and I was at the restaurant, and I was feeling like eating a fish that night. So the waiter comes to the table. I was with friends, and he said, what do you guys want to eat tonight? So I said, oh, what do you recommend as a fish? So he said, oh, follow me. So I just followed the guy, and he brought me in front of this huge aquarium with full of live fish. So I was like, oh, so I have, he said, just pick the one you want and we'll cook it for you. So it was kind of a, like a connection point for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, should I really make the decision to kill one of those fish right now? Because I just feel like eating a fish that night. So I, it kind of, shook me a bit, this, little story. So not long after that, I totally quit fish. And then, almost a year ago, I just learned more about the dairy and egg industry and the whole vegan lifestyle, like watching documentaries and speeches and, you know, movies. So that's when it all made sense to cut everything and just adopt a vegan lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I've been in some restaurants where they have tanks not only with fish but crabs that are piled on top of each other, and it's just heartbreaking, isn't it?
Oh, it is, it is. I mean, you know, obviously fish feel pain too, and we don't really need to eat fish to be healthy and survive, so
mm-hmm.
why avoid certain animals and still eat others? So I just, yeah, avoid all animal products.
So we've been featuring interviews lately with guests who live really lightly on the earth, such as zero waste vegans, and you live a unique lifestyle by not renting an apartment in this notoriously expensive city, and instead you live in a van.
Yeah. Oh, just a second. Somebody's knocking on my door.
Okay.
Just a second. Hi.
There's two of them that have a hammer.
I don't have a hammer at all. Sorry.
Okay.
No worries.
Is that one of your fellow van dwellers in the parking lot you're staying in?
Yeah, actually, I never met this guy, but yeah, he just the van beside, and I thought he was asking me for a vegan question, but he just wanted hammer. So.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, we'll get to the reason why he might be asking you a vegan question later, but let's get back to you living in a van. How long have you been living like this?
It's been on and off for like maybe 25 years for me, since I started traveling when I was a teenager. But in this van, it's more like for the last 6 months. But on and off, I had vans in my life or cars. And even in other countries, I think that's a great way to travel in any countries, to buy a vehicle. So I've lived in vans like a lot of times in my life, but not necessarily continuously, but kind of part-time, yeah.
And so do you think this is going to be a full-time lifestyle for you?
Well, the van life is, like I said, I think it's going to be on and off. I might not always live in a van, but for me, it's really useful, and it gives me the freedom to travel, because basically my life is traveling pretty much half of the year. So living in a van gave me this freedom to save enough money and be mobile and take off for the traveling I'm doing. Sometimes I travel in the van, sometimes I obviously fly because in another continent, but yeah, I'm definitely seeing myself living in vans for a long time still.
Yeah, you're quite comfortable with it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. It's like having a house, but that you can move it anywhere.
Right. And you don't have to get a new roof or replace the furnace or all those expensive things that houses can cost people unexpectedly.
Exactly. It's like a minimalist way of living, because obviously the space is smaller, but you still have everything you need, and you realize that you don't need much, actually.
Yeah.
It's what's in the van, the basic stuff, like, obviously, it's nice to have a stove to cook. Yeah, just some clothing and not much fancy stuff in the van.
Well, you know, I've been sort of researching simple lifestyles, and it has me rethinking the way I live. I have a huge one-bedroom apartment. I never use the living room unless I'm giving somebody a massage. I am in the bedroom, the kitchen, or the bathroom. And then when you think of the stuff I have lots of clothes, of which I probably wear about 3 different outfits that I cycle through. And I think of all the storage space that's taken up with seasonal items like skis and rock climbing equipment, and it's stuff that I'm not using very much.
Yeah, you're totally right. A lot of people are like that, and you're probably not even the worst. Some people, they don't even been to some of their rooms in their house.
Yeah. I heard of someone recently who has an entire garage full of Amazon boxes that have not been opened yet, and they've been there for months.
Yeah. I think people gather so much things. You know, we buy stuff, and often it's gadgets. Sometimes it's really useful, but most of the time it's gadgets that you don't use. Use a few times, and then you just put it aside, and
mm-hmm.
it just piles up, and you just need place to store those things that you don't use. So it's kind of a bit pointless.
Yeah, and we all have an electronics graveyard, I think. I call
yeah.
it.
This is, well, in 2019 now, I think it's kind of part of our life, but
yeah,
you definitely have a lot of electronic stuff, sometimes way too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. You mentioned that when you take on contract work, you work as a rope access technician, and they'll do that for a few months, and then you take time off. So what are you doing when you're not working?
Oh, when I'm not working is the best time, because my passion is definitely surfing. I've been surfing 25 years, so that's what brings me all over the planet, because I love to travel, and surfing is a good way to travel, because there's so many spots. You know, the ocean is, so many countries have ocean, so it's yes, surfing, climbing, obviously. I love climbing and traveling. So those three passions brings together. It just makes me travel everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah. I love it.
And so on the not-so-great size, what are some of the inconveniences of living in a van?
Good question. There are, obviously, it's not always easy. Like right now, my furnace doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of chilly at night. I'm getting it fixed right now, but for the meantime, it's just stuff that can break. Like in a house, also things can break. It's just a little thing like that. But beside that, I would say maybe sometimes finding a spot to park at night. If you get to a new place, you know, you're not always sure if it's going to be, well, usually it's safe. It's just mostly you don't want to get bothered by the police knocking at your door at night, or
mm-hmm.
you don't want to annoy any people living there. Also, just to find a place to park but as you live in more in a van or a vehicle, you learn where to go and not to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always places you can take showers. Usually it's not a big deal, but sometimes you have to look for it a little bit more, like rec center or parks. So it's very small challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's at the end, it's all worth it.
Yeah, the reward is definitely worth it. You were mentioning to me that at community centers, you're allowed to go in for free showers. I know that they do that for the homeless, and I just didn't think that if you're living in a van, they would also include you in that. That's very nice.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they do it everywhere, but where I'm parked right now, they allow everybody to take a shower, a free shower, and, you know, you have access internet inside. You can even take the key of a local a room if it's available. You could go stretch, yoga, whatever you want to do.
Wow.
So those places are definitely handy, especially when you live in Havana. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I go to Maui, sometimes I rent a windsurfing van where they put the seats down in the back for me. They fold right down into the floor. And I just sleep in that. And I really love it. I find it really cozy. And I kind of like it more than a hotel room when it comes to the sleeping situation. But you're right. Yeah. It's tough to find a spot to park, and it's kind of stressful.
Sometimes.
Once you get the hang of it, you know where in town you're okay to be, then it's better off. You've found a good permanent place, haven't you?
Exactly. And when you move around, if you really travel like on a road trip, you rarely sleep more than one or two nights at the same spot. This is more, but you really get to know where to avoid and where you can. Obviously, sometimes you get knocked on the door, but very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So tell us, what were your setup costs? Your van is from 1981, I think?
Yep. It's Dodge Ram 1981. It's, I paid, $3,700. I put maybe $1,500 fixing, like, mechanic-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I redid the whole exterior, like the painting. So I spent maybe $2,000 on that. So at the end, I think it comes back to maybe $6,000 or $7,000 mm-hmm. at the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's not too bad when you consider that once you bought it, you still have some fixing sometimes to do, but, you know, it's like instead of buying a house, you buy a van for $7,000 or more or less, so you can save a lot after that.
Well, the other benefit is that you're just not buying as much because there's nowhere to put it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm trying to visualize myself living in a van in preparation for the interview that I had with you today, and I've reconsidered everything in my lifestyle. Like, I bought a Instapot, and what else? I mean, like, I buy big things sometimes, and I think, well, think of the money I would save because there just wouldn't be somewhere to put that, and I don't really need it anyways, right?
That's true.
It's great.
Especially if you rent a place, it's just giving money, like, every month. Imagine in a year how much. In a year, you can probably buy a van with the amount of money you spend just renting.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine after a few years.
Yeah.
It always depends on the what kind of, like, luxury you want in the life, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not everybody would love to live in a van, but there are also more fancy than also, like, big camper van that could suit some people that like more comfort, but, yeah.
I've been looking on YouTube at a lot of videos, and there's those big, tall Mercedes vans, and people have put little showers in there and toilets and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can spend a lot, but then that's your permanent home, and you can travel with it and save money on hotels. I just love it. I'm really getting hooked on all these YouTube videos I've been watching.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
Well, you should, Jim.
I should do it. Now, let's talk. Sorry?
Yep.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk about some of your favorite vegan meals, because you've got a stove in there. So what do you make?
Oh, man, I made so many good things. I really love just a wrap. I do that like 4 or 5 times a week. It's just very handy. It doesn't even need a stove, or just like a good wrap with hummus and some beans that I cook. A lot of veggies and nuts sometimes.
Awesome.
This is definitely just a quick meal I do often. Also, I cook like stir fries, tofu with veggies also, chili. I really love a dessert that is a raw vegan lemon pie.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even have to cook it. It's when I feel like a little treat, a little sweet, and that's what I make. But yeah, I'm still learning a lot of new recipes. It's really nice to try and experience new flavors, and you just get used to, you know, cook different ingredients.
And I noticed I noticed in the video of your van, you have all of your food in little jars. So are you a zero waster? Are you taking those jars to the grocery store to fill up from the bulk section?
I'm trying to slow down on plastic, but I already have some plastic, so I reuse those plastic ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, but the jar is a good idea, but I'm not sure if they do it in a lot of supermarkets, but I could definitely ask.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea to even not use plastic at all, yeah.
Yeah, I think Eternal Abundance would be accommodating to that. That's the vegan organic grocery store on Commercial Drive.
Yeah, good point, thanks, because I'm actually living close to there.
You are, it's perfect. Yeah, yeah. And what a great business to support. They don't sell any animal products.
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
So let's get to the best part. You use your van to promote compassion towards animals. Can you tell us what you have written on the side of the van and maybe some stories on how this has allowed you to engage with non-vegans in a positive way?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first, I bought this van, like I was saying, about 6 months ago, and my plan when I bought it was to add it lettered. So that's why I painted it all freshly white paint. It looks good. And I have, the lettering is the Vigorous Vegan Vagabond. So this lettering in big is on four sides on the canopy on the top. So I thought it would be a great way to, while I'm traveling, to spread the message of, you know, the vegan lifestyle. So it's actually a passive, I think, way of doing activism, because it's there. People see it. And also, oh yeah, I also have two boxes on each side of the van, and it's written, get info, take a card. So people can take card from those boxes that has really good information about how to go vegan, and some good documentaries also on the animal ethic about health and the environment. So it's just good information that people can take even when I'm not in the van. So, and I think it reaches a lot of people that are kind of maybe more shy. They don't want to interact with people, so they see this van, they see the card, so they can just take it and take their own information without interacting with people. So I think it has a good impact, and so far I have 99% positive feedback from it. A lot of people come and sometimes just talk to me, ask questions, and often I'm in the van and I can hear the box opening. because my windows are tinted, the people don't see I'm inside, so I can see them, like, really close, and then they start reading, they walk away, and, you know, it just a little makes me smile, because it's just those seed planted that, you know, they're most likely to take more information and, you know, maybe adopt this lifestyle soon after, so... yeah, mostly it's all positive. I get the odd finger sometimes, but very rarely. Makes me laugh too, but I would just love to talk to those people, but sometimes you're on the road and I get a finger on the highway. Or,
really? That's so funny. I can't imagine. I mean, it's just, why?
But, like, I think it happened once or twice in 6 months. So mostly I got more honk, like people honking, and
yeah,
probably vegan.
That's really funny. I would just laugh if that happened to me.
No, I love it. And, you know, now I'm getting ready to go to Mexico probably next week. So I'm going to start driving toward, I'm going to start probably in California and then Mexico for the winter. And this will be a great way, I think, to spread awareness and information, because it definitely doesn't go undercover.
Yeah, I want you to make videos of your conversations with people on the way.
Yeah, I could, for sure.
Well, our listeners can follow you, and if you do plan to do that, you've got a Facebook page. What's it called?
Yeah, the Facebook page is Step Up Be Vegan. Mm-hmm. It's all together, and that's the page I have to help people go vegan, help also travelers, because since I travel a lot, I'm gonna make more posts also about how to find vegan food when you're traveling, the restaurant, the market, and, you know, tips on traveling as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be about traveling and how to adopt a vegan lifestyle, or the one that are already vegan, just to help them keep going in this lifestyle. And
we need that. I have a lot of people I've been trying to get to go vegan, and they use the excuse that they travel a lot, so they can't. And we all know that's just an excuse, because if you prepare, you can easily be vegan. But it is more challenging, right? A little bit,
but once you know what you can eat and not eat, it's obvious, right? It's just animal product you ditch from your kind of diet and lifestyle, but it's actually not that hard, because I've been to, like, really remote places on islands, like, that have no internet, and you can always find veggies, fruits. Often they have tofu, tempeh.
Yeah,
it's not that hard. Seriously, it's just an habit. I'm really,
yeah,
even traveling.
Well, I guess I'm talking about people that travel to airports, because airports are notoriously bad for vegan options unless you're okay with fries or salad with no dressing. But, it is possible. Where there's a will, there's a way. And if you're really committed to not harming animals, you will prepare something or, you know, eat. Ask somebody to make you a vegetable sandwich with fries or salad instead of whatever's on the menu, right?
Yeah, 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, sometimes you don't have a lot of options. That's true in, mm-hmm, some restaurant, or it depends where you go, but even you don't have to eat like exactly what you want every time. It's okay to eat maybe a meal that you don't usually eat, or you can probably eat later on during the day a better meal when you find more food, but, mm-hmm, it's pretty rare usually that you're not going to starve, for sure.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Frank. We look forward to following you on your road trip to Mexico, and I'm so jealous. I'll be here working through the winter, and you will be surfing.
Well, thank you. I hope you adopt this lifestyle also of living in a van, or a minimalist way of living. That's awesome, too.
Yeah, I'll run it by my cat and see what she thinks about moving into a van.
That'd be funny to share our road together one day.
Okay, Frank, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, thank you very much. Bye. Bye.
And we have some events to share with you that are coming up this weekend. Tonight, Friday, March 1st, from 7 p.m. to midnight, the Neuterhead Ace of Spades fundraiser is happening at the Rickshaw Theater. At this annual benefit concert, members of rad local bands are joining forces to create rock and metal cover bands for one night only, and 100% of ticket sales are donated to local nonprofit animal rescues. This year's cover bands pay tribute to Blue Oyster Cult, Faith No More, and the Allman Brothers.
They've also got their annual raffle and silent auction with prizes like tattoos, art, gift certificates to sweet local shops, and more. Tickets are available on eventbrite.ca or at Red Cat Records. And again, that's tonight, March 1st, 7 p.m. And then coming up this Sunday, March 3rd, 4 to 9 p.m., it's the Day of Giving Within Arbitrary Borders, or Dog Wab. Allison, you had some comments on that.
Yeah, I made a post on our Animal Voices Facebook page this weekend about it, just sort of highlighting what our needs are for this week. This is an all-volunteer-run initiative that has been organized by local food activists and an amazing vegan cook. His name is David Isbister, and he owns the company Plant Based Natural Foods and Products. And as part of that, with the kitchen space that he uses, we've been doing this now for about 2 years, and we've had 5 events. And what we will do until the months coming up to the events, as we have been for this weekend, is collecting donations of shampoo and conditioner and toothbrushes and toothpaste and hand lotion and handmade soap. So we have those items, and there's still time to get in some donations if you happen to be in the area. His address is 400 Industrial Avenue. That's his commissary kitchen. And things that we still need are reusable water containers, which I am taking a lot of today to the space there. We need warm hats, scarves, and gloves. And you can, you know, check through what you have in your closet. New undergarment bottoms, razors, disposable razors, combs and brushes, and we still need socks. So I'm actually bringing 4 big bags of some of the stuff that I've collected over the last few months and taking it to David's commercial kitchen space today. So he's accepting donations all day. I think he says until 6 p.m. And they might need some light help in the kitchen tonight as well, just sorting out the stuff. But what our main needs are for, and I just want to maybe just briefly highlight more if you haven't been listening in the last 2 weeks of what this event is. This is an event that was started 2 years ago on Canada Day we find that perhaps the celebrations of Canada Day ignore marginalized groups and reinforce oppression, colonialism, and many other stigmatized phobias and judgment-based harms inflicted on our fellow humans. We here at Animal Voices, we care about animals. We're here to be animal advocates. But our fellow humans, we're also animals, and we have to recognize that, right? And I think it's really important to speak for other social justice issues that might not just be in your one niche, which mine is obviously for the animals, right? But I also care a lot about humans, and it makes me feel that I can at least be of some service in some way if I take out four days of my year or in the days leading up to it to collect donations, to ask my friends to help out, and to take my time in the kitchen. We'll be putting meals together on Sunday afternoon. We still have some needs for that. And then we have needs for a number more people to help out with the actual give, which is giving to marginalized people who live in the downtown east side of Vancouver. And we usually go out to a park first, and we have a lot of customers there for our free store, as we call it, because we're giving out, we have stations of like all those things I mentioned, all these toiletries and socks and scarves and hats, and they all love them, they all appreciate them, they all take them, and it makes me feel good to know that I'm able to find these resources and redistribute them into a place where it's actually needed. So we go out there usually, and then we head back to the industrial kitchen, and then we fill up again because we've got more meals there, and then we usually head down to Main and Hastings, so that's for the earlier part of the evening. Around, I believe in the past it's been around 6:30 or 7 p.m. If you are free, if you are listening to this, most of us are vegan and animal advocates, but you don't have to be. You just have to be a person who cares about other people in our society, especially mm-hmm. in Vancouver, and want to help. Because as I've mentioned before, activism is our rent for living on this planet, right? So this is a really easy way to give a hand, and we do need the help on Sunday. So if you go to our Facebook page, at the top there, so our page is Animal Voices Vancouver. At the top, there is a pinned event post for Dog Web 6. And in there, it tells you all about the event. And if you look at the comment on February 20th, it's a discussion comment. David there is asking for shifts to be filled for this weekend. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, we still have a number of shifts available on Friday. I hope you can make it, Elise.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
I asked all my Animal Voices colleagues if they can please come, and I put a call out to the Vancouver vegan community. It would be great to have some more hands there, because we actually need physical people to carry the stuff, like to carry the bags of water bottles, to carry the bags of socks, and to carry the bags of toothpaste, and to have them there to offer out as people go through our free store line, and then also to hand out the food. So that's my little spiel for this week. Please come out if you can this weekend. Dog Web 6, it's happening this Sunday afternoon, and we have needs on Sunday afternoon until the evening for volunteer help. Check out our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, for more information on that.
Cool. Thank you for that information, Allison. Yeah, it's such an important event. You know, we live in a city where there's so much poverty and homelessness, and there's really stark income inequality and a huge gap between rich and poor.
Yeah, and I've heard other people say that this doesn't happen in their city they're from. So
the kind of giving event doesn't happen in the city?
The poverty.
Oh, yeah, okay. Actually, I mean, I think it's pretty common in a lot of places, but I feel like here it's pretty stark.
Earthling Ed was quite shocked when he was here in the summer, and I drove him here to the station, and he was staying in the area, and he said, we don't have this in England.
Oh, okay, yeah fair
really
enough.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay, so again, that's the Day of Giving Within Arbitrary Borders, and you can find more information, as Allison said, on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. And on Monday, March 4th, from 7 to 9 p.m., Vancouver Chicken Save is hosting a benefit pop-up at Willow's Wax Bar, which is at 2139 East Hastings Street. They'll be releasing their brand new shirts. Peace People Project has printed Vancouver Chicken Save's new logo on one-of-a-kind upcycled
tops. They look really nice.
Yeah, I saw some photos. Yeah. They look really cute. The shirts are $30 each, and the proceeds will go to Rasta Animal Sanctuary in Chemainus. So that should be a fun little event. Again, that's on Monday, March 4th, 7 to 9 p.m.
Sounds like a great event.
Yeah. So, I wanted to share a little bit. We just have a few minutes. I wanted to share a little bit about some experiences that I had recently. I, as our regular listeners will know, I'm a professional musician. I just spent a couple of months on tour with a group that I play with, mostly in Florida. And
that was Vivace, right?
Vivace, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I watched one of those, the concert that you posted. It was so good.
Oh,
thank you for
Allison.
Posting that.
Oh,
that was what I needed, just a free concert on my phone to watch on the night before
amazing.
Bed.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. I'm very lucky to be able to travel a lot for my work. And one of the things that I love the most about being able to do this kind of traveling is just experiencing amazing vegan food in other places. And I was mostly in Florida for this tour, but I had a little break in the tour, and I was able to fly to New York City and try some of the restaurants there as well. But we just have a few minutes, but I just wanted to
give me some highlights.
Yeah,
so I've been to New York City about four times.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'm quite interested to know, because they are the most, they're the city with the most vegan restaurants in the world,
yeah,
I think.
I know, yeah. I was amazed. I mean, I was only there for a few days, and I went to something like eight restaurants.
Good
and
for
they
you.
Were all they were all vegan, you know. I didn't
go
to any.
A lot of meals.
I know, it is. Yeah, it was a lot. But yeah, I would say in New York, probably some of the highlights for me included Champ's Diner. I don't know.
Yay,
if you've been
in
there.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
Very yummy. We stayed in Brooklyn the last couple times, so made
cool.
a point of going out there.
Yeah, just amazing diner food. I had like a vegan Reuben, and my boyfriend had a really stacked high burger, and we shared a sundae. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just delicious food. Yeah, he said the fries were the best fries he'd ever
had.
We
need a place like that in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah, just kind of junky diner food. They had all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, but it was so great. And another one that I really loved there was Delice and Sarasin. It's like a French restaurant.
Okay, I haven't heard of that. It must be new.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how old it is. I mean, maybe it's, yeah, it might be new. But it's this gorgeous little place, very, very small, intimate atmosphere, and they play like kind of French cafe music in there. And the entire menu is traditional French cuisine, but it's entirely vegan. So I had coq au vin, and my boyfriend had like a scallop dish on, you know, sauteed spinach. Mm. And they also have things like, you know, beef bourguignon and stuff like that, but all of it is plant-based.
I think it's lovely to see that French people, from whether they're from France or Quebec, they're starting to recognize veganism, because typically this is a very un-vegan region of
That's
Europe.
That's true.
Right?
French cuisine tends to be animal product heavy.
It's starting to come, I believe, and I think that's really cool. And we just had a 21 course meal for buffet for Vancouver Meatless Meetup that was all French.
Oh, cool.
Dishes. It was 21 dishes.
Wow.
I didn't go. It looked really good.
Oh, I wish I could have.
Yeah, it was
that.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah, but this meal was beautiful, and we even had a vegan cheese board at the beginning and that sort of thing. It was just wonderful. Yeah. And we went to a Korean restaurant, Hangawi, which was all Korean food.
I wanted to go there. I've heard many things about
it. Yeah, it was beautiful. So beautiful atmosphere, you know, kind of low light and everything. So yeah, super lovely. That is all the time we have for today, though. You've been listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Join us here next Friday, March 8th. That happens to be International Women's Day at noon. We'll have more exciting animal-friendly programming for you here on Animal Voices. And we here at the show want to connect with you online. Visit our website, animalvoices.org, where you can stream past shows and download them as podcasts. You can also see our show blog there with detailed links and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And Google Play Podcasts, don't forget.
Nice. Yeah, that's right. you can stay in touch with us on Facebook at Animal Voices Vancouver, as we mentioned earlier, and on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. And now we'll leave you with a song. This is the Beach Boys with Vegetables. Stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
I'm going to be around my vegetables. I'm going to chop down my vegetables. I love you most of all. My favorite vegetable. I'm going to take a hold of the crown. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well in my vegetables, cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. So I'm dancing. See what I need.
your letter and tell us the name of your favorite vegetable.